Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This phrase is one of the phrases you never want to hear in your life. It's a phrase we've all spoken before. It's a phrase we've all heard before. And it's a phrase that if I say just part of it, I know that you can finish the rest of it. Are you ready? It's this: I have some good news and I have some bad news, right? Now, which do you want to hear first? When we hear that phrase, our hearts can sink, our joy can evaporate, or maybe we might be positive and optimistic about what we might hear. But when you hear this question, what do you choose to hear first? Do you want to hear the good news to start off being happy and then to go to the bad news and be brought down? Or would you rather start off with the bad news, start with that solemn proclamation, and then be lifted back up with the glorious good news? Do you make your choice based on the person's demeanor? Or do you let them decide since they know what they are going to tell you? There's no easy way to approach this phrase, is there? As we look at our Old Testament text this morning, Isaiah 61, we see the servant of the Lord speaking. And he says the dreaded phrase, I have some good news and I have some bad news. Which would you like to hear first? In our lives, we can unfortunately know bad news. We can know the bad news of a broken heart. This pain can come from the disappointment by a loved one. It can come from the betrayal of a friend. A broken heart can be caused by the words and actions done against us. We can be brokenhearted because of sin, maybe ours, or the sin done against us. We can know the bad news of a guilty conscience. We know what it's like to be afflicted in this way, don't we? We can have regret over something that we have done, and we can remember the shame and disappointment when we think about it. We can have regret over what we haven't done, and that regret can linger and haunt us to this very day. We might want a new beginning from our past to be free from those sins that define us or those things that we have done. We can know a guilty conscience. But we can also know the bad news, a feeling captive to sin and to the devil. We might wrestle with a sin that we seem to be shackled with, whether it's greed or gossip. We can know the pain of hearing the devil's lies that we can be tempted to think are true. He says horrible things like, God is against you. You can't be forgiven. Your life is irredeemable. His grace is exhausted. But unfortunately, though, we can also experience bad news in our lives. It can come from a bad diagnosis, a tragedy we may witness or endure. It can come through death. And this can make us mourn, grieve, feel exhausted, and have a faint spirit. We can experience good news. We can say, I have bad news. But as Christians, though, we can know the other side of this phrase as well. I have good news. For our Heavenly Father says to you and to me, I have good news for you. In our text, God's servant speaks, and he speaks good news to those who know bad news. So who is this servant? In Isaiah, this servant is described in a variety of ways. In chapter 11, the prophet says the Holy Spirit would rest on him with his sevenfold gifts. In 42, it said he will bring justice to the nations. Chapter 49 says that God is glorified in him. In 53, we hear how the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And in chapter 50, verse 4, it says, this servant knows how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Who is this servant? What is this wonderful word that he speaks? The servant is none other than Jesus. And he says this text is fulfilled in him in Luke chapter 4. And what is the word that he speaks? That word that sustains the weary, the afflicted, the brokenhearted, the grieving, the hurting, those who mourn, those who are faint, those who are exhausted, and those who want a new beginning. That word is the good news, the gospel, that he died and rose again for sinners like you and me. The gospel is that word that God works through, spoken, written, remembered, in water and in with and under bread and wine. The gospel is the power of God. It's what he uses to work in human hearts and in human lives. This isn't a weak message or a wimpy word, but it's a strong one, a mighty one, a life-changing, a life-saving one. Let's hear the good news. That's for you. Let's hear what this servant has to say. He says, "Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, not just to win, but to speak and bring good news, literally the gospel, to the poor and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Our Lord tenderly bandages brokenhearted sinners like you and me with his gospel of forgiveness and love shown at his cross and tomb. He stills the guilty conscience with his grace and says, "I know you have regret. I'll help you through this. You are forgiven." He releases sinners bound in the hopeless dungeon of their own depravity. He shatters the bond of the devil's controlling influence over human lives. He hushes his lies and says, "God is for you. His grace is inexhaustible. Your life is redeemable and you are saved." This servant soothes, saves, and forgives. That's not all he proclaims. He announces a new beginning in him. He continues by saying, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." This is the second reference to the year of Jubilee in our text, along with the word liberty. What is the year of Jubilee? It's a pretty neat event that happened once every 50 years. On this 50th year, all property that had been sold went back to the family that had originally inherited it. All slaves would be set free. All debts and bonds would be erased, forgotten no more. Those who were bankrupt were forgiven. It would give God's people a new and needed beginning. The gospel, we have a new beginning because of what Christ has done for us. We're set free from our sin and bondage. Our ledger with God has been cleared. We're no longer spiritually bankrupt before him, because Christ has given us his righteousness and applied it to us. The former things don't define me and they don't rule over me. I'm defined in Christ and by who I am in him. I have a new beginning in Jesus, and you do too. But this good news, not done just yet, he announces a different future for us as well. He says, "To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit." On the one side, we have grief, mourning, exhaustion, ashes, and despair. On the other side, we have comfort, a beautiful headdress, the oil of gladness, the garment of praise. Our Lord imparts comfort in our pain, joy in our trials, freedom and strength in our circumstances through the gospel. The former things don't have the last word, but our God does. We have comfort, joy, freedom and strength in Him through what He has done for us. And the servant finishes it all by telling us the result of his work. What is the result? He says that they, you, may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. We're compared to a tree, but not just any tree, the mighty and strong and beautiful oak tree. We are planted by God and sustained by Him. He gives the growth in our faith life. He's the source of our salvation, the source of our good works. We're righteous and belong to Him. We are rooted in Jesus and in His righteousness. No one can cut or chop us down. And what's our response to this? What's our response to the good news that we have heard? It's joy in Christ. In verse 10, we see the response of the person who has received these wonderful blessings and benefits. We say, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. This message of good news produces joy in our Lord, and it's grounded in Him. Our salvation is in Him and certain. This gives us joy in God despite our circumstances. In our lives, we will know and experience bad news, but in the Lord, we always have good news. In His name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.